In the New York Times today, Nicholas Kristof, terrific opinion piece writer, he's got a story called Go West, Young People and East. It's an account of his life and how it was transformed by having lived in and worked in other countries, especially non-English-speaking countries. Here's what he writes. Says, one of the aims of higher education is to broaden perspectives, and what better way than by a homestay in a really different country like Bangladesh or Senegal? Time abroad also leaves one more aware of the complex prism of suspicion through which the United States is often viewed. If more Americans had overseas experience, our foreign policy might be wiser. Well, in 1968, a young American woman from the Chicago area in the Peace Corps went to Afghanistan to start a nursing school for girls. What she did was keep a diary to chronicle her experiences and impressions. And now, 46 years later, those notations have been turned into a book. It's called Little Women of Baghlan, the story of a nursing school for girls in Afghanistan, the Peace Corps, and life before the Taliban. The book was written not by the woman who wrote that journal, but by Susan Fox. She's basically a technical writer who lives in Moments and works at St. Mary's Hospital in Kankakee. And the opening pages of your book won the honors in the nonfiction category at the Writers Institute of Madison, Wisconsin. Congratulations. Turn that microphone, by the way, towards you. It's facing away.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
So how did you two come to be collaborators on this project?
I've known Jo my entire life. And when she came to me with her diary, her notes, her pictures, everything, and she said, Susie, I don't know where to start. So how could I not write this book? I mean, the historical background alone drew me into the story. When I look back at 1968 to 1970, in those 2 years, Martin Luther King was assassinated, Robert Kennedy was assassinated, we put a man on the moon, we were in Vietnam serving in the Peace Corps all at the same time. So the historical backdrop alone, then you've got Jo's story, how she joined the Peace Corps, what she did in Afghanistan. Everything was right there in her diary, in her little cassette tapes, all for the taking.
She's in her 70s now, mm-hmm. lives in Kankakee.
Yes, she does.
Perhaps listening to WGN Radio this very moment.
I hope so.
Now, we see a nation that, with its tribal tensions and gender traditions, was still developing at that time in the 1960s toward being some kind of a stable country. In other words, the Afghanistan we do not know today, the Afghanistan before it sort of went off the rails.
Well, I think it's a country most people don't realize even existed. It had a king at that time. It was a member of the UN, and I think they were slowly moving toward recognizing women's rights. And everything really went off the rails when Russia invaded that country in 1979.
Yeah, and then we're there now, withdrawing, mm-hmm. and you know, the big question is whether or not we're going to have a positive legacy.
Right.
The assumption is that why wouldn't everybody want to have American-style democracy? But that was not her experience there.
It was not at all. The thing that she wanted brought out in this book was how the Afghan people welcomed the Americans. They appreciated everything they did for them. They made Afghanistan Jo's home away from home. So that was the main thing, I think, in this book. The understanding between cultures was something that she came away with. As you know, Afghanistan is predominantly a Muslim country, and the American volunteers would celebrate the end of Ramadan with their Afghan hosts, and the Afghans brought a Christmas tree on Christmas Eve to the American volunteers.
Now, the impression that many people have about that country is that it is woefully backward and that it is brutal toward women. We hear the stories about acid thrown in the face of girls who are just trying to get an education, the murder of women if they're caught dating somebody of another tribe. Was that going on then too, or is that sort of a Taliban-influenced kind of cultural change that took place?
Well, I had to be honest. The women were mistreated during the 60s and 70s when Jo was there.
And perhaps for decades or generations before.
It is a cultural thing. However, having said that, I also will say it was nothing like it is now after the Taliban. Yes, they were mistreated, but there were times when they allowed those young girls to go to school. Jo and the girls with her, had to get permission from the fathers in Afghanistan to allow the daughters to go to school. But they did.
A minor inconvenience considering the life and death choices
right,
that they make, whether
now.
They want to go to school.
Yes, yes. It is much different now. It was a completely different country. Jo traveled the country by herself with her head uncovered, and she wore Western clothes, and she felt completely safe. The book opens with her traveling in a taxi with 8 Afghan men by herself across the Hindu Kush Mountains, and she thought nothing of it. They looked after her, and they took care of her, much as they would a younger sister.
Part of the story is about the Peace Corps itself,
yes.
How it operates. And how did she come to want to live that kind of a selfless, give-back existence?
You know, I think she looked for adventure as much as she wanted to serve. And she was fortunate to hear John F. Kennedy speak on the Senate floor in, I believe, 1959. She was still in high school. That made such an impression on her. And so she did feel like she was called to do something beyond her comfort zone. And again, it was at that time to join the Peace Corps was to get some excitement and a way to see other countries.
I'm sure that's the same impulse that drove many a young person to want to join the Peace Corps. And it was JFK's creation as well.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Now, was this an assignment for her? You came up, here's your pick, you get Afghanistan.
That was about it. She got, I think the fact that she was in the medical field in Afghanistan so desperately needed nurses to, especially for women's health care. So I think that's probably why she got that assignment.
Was it her choice to start the school?
That was their assignment, actually. And, you know, we've talked many times. Now I think that the Peace Corps still exists. I will say that. There are some people who think that it's, you know, a thing of the past. But people still do join the Peace Corps.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think now they are sent with a lot of instructions and parameters, whereas at that time they kind of just went over and you're on your own. Use your imagination. Get these girls trained as nurses and sort of figure out how to do it. And they did.
Now, the book is rich with stories, mm-hmm. and I want to get a couple of. Why don't you tell me what you think are the most compelling, most telling, most engaging stories that come out of this book? We'll do that in just a second here. I'm talking with Susan Fox. She is actually, what I say, you're almost like an editor. I mean, you did create a narrative for all mm-hmm. of this, so it's sort of an editor-writer in taking somebody's jottings and recordings and turning it into a coherent narrative with a beginning, middle, and an end to it.
Yes, and I have to give Jo credit here because she allowed me to do that. I mean, she allowed me to spin the story in my own way, in my own style, rather than picking at a small detail and saying it wasn't exactly like that. She allowed me to elaborate and put it into a narrative.
Yeah, well, it's gotten some great recognition. It's only been out a short time and some noteworthy endorsements. We're talking with Susan Fox. She's the, not the author, but the mm-hmm. writer, the editor of this book called Little Women of Baghlan, a story of nursing school for girls in Afghanistan, the Peace Corps, and life before the Taliban. And the title, from where does it come?
Well, I had a cast given to me that was perfect for writing. Jo, who is a bit serious, Nan, who had an inordinate sense of humor, and both in their 20s. Mary was 60 years old.
Now, these are people who
were
with her?
These are the people that lived with her in Afghanistan and worked at the nursing school. Mary was 60 and a grandmother when she joined. So these three women really forged a close friendship. After they'd been in Afghanistan for about 9 months, the Peace Corps granted them a leave, and they could travel wherever they wanted. So they did travel to India together. Generally speaking, volunteers were stuck in the middle of nowhere. When they got their chance to get away, they couldn't wait to get away from each other and see other people. These three women traveled together. So when Jo turned in the travel plans to Kabul, to the Peace Corps headquarters, he just shook his head and said, "You three women, you're like the little women of Baghlan." And then in addition, of course, the protagonist's name is Jo. So.
Yeah. Now, it's funny because the Kirkus Review gave it some good rating.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and but they said that it was what, lighthearted in a way?
They did, and I was glad to see that. I didn't want this book to be dark and grim, certainly. Those women saw enough tragedy in those 2 years to last a lifetime. Women who died of tuberculosis because their husbands would not allow them to be seen by a physician. The women who died in childbirth. The kids who drowned in the Jui, the little ditches along each road. I mean, they saw this stuff every day. But they were young Americans. They were young kids in a way in their 20s. They knew how to party. They knew how to have a good time. And they did. So they partied in Kabul. They traveled. So there were some good times, too.
Well, give us a little bit longer a narrative, an anecdote or a short story from their
experience. Well, I'll tell you, each chapter starts with a quote from Jo's diary, because I just enjoyed her diary so much, and then I would elaborate on it. The first chapter, the Hindu Kush, she's traveling across the mountains.
Let me read that.
Yes.
The Hindu Kush is the first chapter. Off in a taxi and made the usual switch in Puli Kumari.
Mm-hmm.
It was an uneventful ride until we came to an avalanche just before the Salang. April 21st, 1970. What happened?
Well, that was about all she had in her diary. She did print afterwards, "I must have an instinct for survival because I ran like hell." And that's all she wrote. In talking with her later, I found out that when the avalanche hit the car and she tried to get out, she did get out first. And in her mind, she pushed and clawed her way past the passengers in the car, and come to find out later, they had allowed her to go first because she was the youngest. Because the Afghans have got a code of hospitality. She was the guest in their country. They were going to allow her out first, even if it meant risking their own lives.
So the avalanche actually swept the car away?
It did. It moved the car along the road, and I think that's when she realized she needed to get out. She said she could see snow coming in through the closed windows and the closed door, and something was wrong. And you know how you react in an emergency. You just cannot immediately grasp what's really happening.
Yeah, the brain can't process
right.
How about another story?
Oh, gosh, there's a million.
She did say, as you alluded to, some very tragic things.
Right.
And I know, you know, watching a child die.
Yeah, there was a young boy who felt that they had gaudies there, which were horse-drawn carts, and a small boy fell off the gaudy seat and hit his head. And Mary actually was the one that was witness to this. The doctors came in, and obviously he had a concussion. He was disoriented. He was sick. I mean, he had every classical sign that things were not going to go well or end well. And Mary, of course, wanted to put him in a taxi and send him to Kabul, which was a 5-hour drive across the Hindu Kush Mountains. And the doctor sent the boy home with his parents. And the comment was, better to let the child die in the arms of his parents than die on a taxi ride across the mountains. Mm-hmm. And so that's what they lived with every day.
Did this change her? I have to believe it did.
Oh,
and
it
in
did.
What way?
Oh, it did. It changed all of them. As one of them said, we stepped out of the box into another culture. And they were the only Christians in a predominantly Muslim country. And yet they were welcomed. They were at home. They were at ease. And so they saw the world in a different way. And it did change them forever. They felt on many levels that they learned much more from the Afghans than they ever taught them.
Well, can you articulate how it changed her? She came back to the United States. She worked at the medical center in Riverside. How was she different?
Right. I think you have a different attitude toward other countries, other people, other cultures, other religions. You're not so quick to say just because they're different, they're evil or they're bad. And I think especially after 9/11, she felt like she wanted that message out, that different does not equate evil. And I think you go through the rest of your life understanding that we're all different.
On Salon.com, I was reading today an article by a Malaysian who feels that what's happening right now in the media with all of the speculation about that missing aircraft, that a lot of people are getting a false impression about the Malaysian government and Malaysians in general. And again, this guy is a Malaysian, and he had some quotes about the simplistic view that so many people have about underdeveloped countries, and we jump to conclusions, we have false assumptions, and we develop certain biases that really don't have a grounding in reality.
Right. The girls that she met in her school, she became very close to. Those girls were wise beyond their years, even though many of them could not read or write, and yet they taught her a way of looking at the world that is just a more accepting way.
Susan Fox, did it change you writing this story?
Oh, absolutely. This book took me on a journey of my own. It was my own adventure. It brought me to the NATO summit in Chicago, talking about women's rights.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Karzai and Obama and all the NATO leaders met at McCormick Place. The women were not there, and yet it's the women who will be affected when the troops are withdrawn from Afghanistan. So they had a shadow summit at the Swiss Hotel. And I will say Madeleine Albright was there, and the comment she made was, it has been my experience that if you're not at the table for negotiation, you're part of the meal, meaning that the Afghan women's rights possibly would be bargained away. Exactly.
Little Women of Baghlan, that's B-A-G-H-L-A-N, and Susan Fox is the one who put it together based on the account, the real live world experience of Joanne Carter Bowling.
Mm-hmm.
That's her married name.
That is her married name, yes.
Well, thank you so much. Very compelling.